Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, October 31st, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, and it ends with, it's strong language, but isn't it true? I'll be discussing that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Mary P. for the 12 Steps, Mary B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Reggie O. and Justin B. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, October the 30th, is 19,576. That is 19576. And for Monday, this morning's meeting, October 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,577 or 19577. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements person is Betsy H. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning,
Thanks,
Mary.
Mo. Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
And thank you, Mary P., for your service this month. I will now ask Mary B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Thanks, Mo. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Mary B., for stepping in there and your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 38. The second paragraph starts with, "You may think our illustration is too ridiculous," and it ends with, "It's strong language, but isn't it true?" And I will now ask Reggie O to get us started. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Mo, and thanks so very much for your service. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in Texas today. And you may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit, if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However intelligent we may have been in other respects where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? You know, this was one of the stories, there weren't very many, that I couldn't relate to for years in program. And, you know, that's really not the case today because of just the, you know, the seeming apparent insanity of someone who would run out in front of cars starting out. You know, of course, he was excited to do it. There was a thrill about it. And then he lost everything, you know, not to mention probably access to a lot of his, you know, physical being because of all of the injuries. And, you know, it made me think of adrenaline. And when I was in the disease, I don't want to say am anymore. I hope I'm done with that forever. But when I was in the disease, I was either seeking some kind of adrenaline effect or some kind of sedative effect. And the adrenaline really got me from him. And what I ate with impunity and without much self-consciousness until I knew I was a compulsive overeater. And that is after I had gotten pretty far along and I was well into my adulthood. But once I realized that I was a compulsive overeater, hiding was something that I would do. And always looking, you know, sometimes for my next fix, depending on where I was. But you know, I got a lot of recovery, and I was recovered one time for a very long time, and my life took off in every area, in every way, far more than I would ever have imagined. And I picked up again, and some years, and it really took me out. And one of the ways that it would take me out would be I just stopped being social. You know, I mean, I would stay in my house. I would go to and eat, and the adrenaline I would get by clicking on the television set and seeing what I could find over and over and over again, never stopping anywhere. When I was working, I remember I was working in a school system, and that was one of the gifts I got after going to grad school and coming out. And there were donuts in the faculty room, and I was picking up off and on. And so here I am, I see these donuts in the faculty room, and I walk in and I just take one, you know, I just take one donut. And I don't know if there were one or two boxes Dunkin' Donuts. And of course, I was a goner. I was there to work for the day. I was a goner. And I would keep going back to the faculty room, hiding to get another donut, and my adrenaline was really, really pumping. So the adrenaline worked a lot. And one night I remember being in my apartment. I didn't have enough to keep me full and satisfied. So I got in my car and drove like a maniac. Literally, I could have killed someone or run into a building through the parking lot. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Really? Oh, my Lord. Well, all I want to say is I'm not that jaywalker today. And thank you, God. I am not that jaywalker, and I don't seek adrenaline, and I don't seek to buffer. I seek to try to live my life and be in it as fully as I possibly can. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Reggie, for getting us started. Yes, there's a lot to share in that paragraph. So I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 38, the second paragraph down. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, and it ends with, it's strong language, but isn't it true? And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days on any meeting, starting Thursday, probably back to Wednesday, then you can share today. Who would like to share?
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Tamara J.
Tamara J.
Drew D.
R.
Drew, what was your last initial?
D. D as in dog.
Got it. Who else?
Harmony W.
R.
What was your name? Was it Harmony?
Yes, Harmony W.
Okay, got it.
Kim T.
Somebody else. Kim T.
Yeah.
Got it.
Lisa N.
Okay, we'll stop there at 6. I have Ginger C, Tamara J, Drew D, Harmony W, Kim T, and Lisa N. And please let us know where you're calling from. Hey, good morning, Ginger. Are you unmuted, Ginger?
Hey, Mo, I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now. Thank you, Ginger.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your continued service. You know, I think my existence with this mute star one, whatever the buttons are, I think it's going to continue. But I'm so grateful to be with you all today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And Reggie, what a powerful beginning. Thank you for your service as well. You know, I have just been in a horrible relapse, and it's been about a year. It's crazy. And I am strangely insane. Like, why the hell do I think food's my friend? And I have a lot of years in Alcoholics Anonymous. We hear this a lot in OA, right? Put the plug in the jug. But man, putting that food down and keeping it down, that's a whole nother story. It has not been my experience in Overeaters Anonymous. I know relapse more than I know recovery. And it blows me away. October 30th, 2015, I went to that amazing convention in Virginia Beach. And I saw the big book for the first time, even though I was 24 years sober in AA. Never read it, never saw it, never experienced it. And that gift of abstinence was bestowed upon me because I got busy, I got better. And I just did this practical program of action. And my warning this morning is that where I lost that gift is I stopped doing what was working. I absolutely got into COVID. I was tired. I was in tremendous fear. Don't want to make excuses. I'm a drunk with food. But I stopped doing what was working. And to get back has been hell. So there's a bottom below the bottom you know today. I don't care how many days you've been out of food. And also, the other warning I have is I got really sneaky. Somebody gave me these box of crackers. They were eating them. They were abstinent, sharing all the time on Vision. I thought, well, she's doing it. I could do it. Please don't share your food in Overeaters Anonymous. Your food may kill me. And that box led me back to a Cheetos. It was a cheese rice cracker that seemed innocent. But eventually, that's what I really wanted was the real crap. And I got back to it. So again, you know, I'm a food freak. I will do anything for food. And I'm so grateful today for this relapse because I finally know what about it is all about. It's about honesty, real honesty with this food. I have to be clean and clear. And when my food is quiet, I know I'm eating abstinently. And with that, I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Ginger C. Tamara J, followed by Drew D. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara, a chronic relapser. But anyway, when I first heard this paragraph, I thought it was ridiculous. And every time I heard it, I just could not relate to it. Because who would act that way? And yet I am, where food is concerned, a jaywalker. I am a chronic relapser, and I typically start over every few weeks. And so, you know, and so at this point, I'm ready to give up. But yesterday I was listening to a podcast on a vision, and it was said that until a person is beat to a pulp by this disease, that they probably aren't going to be able to get this. And I know for a fact I've been beat to a pulp, but I've never heard it like that. So today I'm going to admit to you all that, yes, I'm the jaywalker, I'm sorry, but the good news is that since I keep coming back, I'm ready to do this thing because I have been beaten to a pulp. And the one thing that kept playing in my head all this weekend was that it kept saying, rarely have we seen the person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Well, I kept hearing that first part in my head and saying, yeah, that's me. I'm not going to be able to do this. But somebody had to point out to me this weekend that you have to follow the path. And so I have the tool. You guys have taught me what to do, so I know what to do. So anyway, today I'm going to give it a try. So anyway, thank you to all that make this meeting possible, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara J. from California. Drew D., followed by Harmony W. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning. Drew D. here. Definitely a compulsive compulsive overeater and restrictor. I like that at the beginning of this paragraph, you may think our illustration is too ridiculous. Bill W. And the team does a great job of anticipating how my squirrely brain works. I don't just opt for the easier, softer way. I go for the creatively avoidant way. My denial is soft and it's subtle, and it's clearly an alcoholic that's helping me identify those little ways that I would excuse myself out of these rooms nicely, gently, quietly, and often unconsciously. So it's really helpful to say, yeah, I that does seem ridiculous. And then now that that's been called out, I can lean in and remember those moments where absolutely the food and the food behaviors got the blood pumping, and that it was in quiet, boring moments of my life where the food started to call. Been dealing with relapse in a way that I never thought I would. This paragraph really helps me reflect on the jaywalking because, yeah, I thought I could use my intelligence to figure it out. But I'm finding time and again that it is strangely, strangely insane. The strong language is 100% true for me, and I need to claim that, honor that, acknowledge that out loud and with other fellows on a daily basis. Otherwise, I get spiritually sleepy, and I disappear. So really appreciate everyone's service today. I see the problem here, and I believe, I know I've seen the solution to help keep me spiritually awake through the steps in this program. So big thanks again. And with that, I'll pass.
And Drew, where are you calling from?
This is Drew D in New York.
New York. All right. Thank you, Drew, for sharing. Harmony W, tell us where you're sharing from, and you're up next, followed by Kim T.
Hi, Harmony W, compulsive overeater. I am in Costa Rica, so I believe that's mountain time. I'm a newcomer, and this is a really pivotal kind of paragraph for me to read today because with being in the rooms, it's been a very clear reflection, and this is pretty much what this paragraph is telling me is that, you may think our illustration is too ridiculous, or how I perceive it, it's like you may think that this reflection is too ridiculous, but is it? Or is it true? And if I really allow myself to just accept, this whole paragraph, but like the entire big book and everything that is happening outside of me as a total reflection of like my inner workings or my inner world, then that places me in the perfect place to find my way out of this, basically use this blueprint that the 12 steps are to find that contentment. And it's, we have been strangely insane. It's strong, but it is true, and it's hard to come to terms with. I think it's always difficult when you're hit with the reality of how you've been living or not living. I think that I've been strangely insane, and this illustration is not too ridiculous. It's definitely a very clear reflection, and I'm really grateful for that clarity, and now I just need to make sure that I honor that and move forward with gratitude. All right, that is my share, so I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Was that Harmony W?
Yes, Harmony W, Mountain Time.
Mountain Time in Costa Rica. Thank you, Harmony, for your share. Glad to have you
on board.
Kim T, let us know where you're calling from, followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. This is Kim T in Colorado. And I just wanted to say, I was sitting here thinking, what am I going to share? What part should I pick out from the reading? How should I connect it to myself? Instead of asking God. And these days, I've been through the steps with a recovered sponsor. I'm recovered now. But today, this morning, my head was just jumping all over me like I'm in the food and I'm not. And I feel like just worthless. And I just want to remember, well, first of all, what it was like. And it's how I feel right now is nothing like I used to feel when I'm in the food, when I was in the food. So that's a huge blessing. But my wanting to sound good at all costs and try to figure out, exactly what to say based on the reading, based on what other people have said, I'm not letting God in at all when I'm doing that, when I'm trying to manipulate all that. And yes, I know we want to share on the big book passage, and this passage was about the jaywalker, which is an appropriate illustration for us. But to think so much about what I'm going to say is detrimental to my mental and spiritual health. So I just wanted to say that one. I hope that resonates with somebody out there. And the other thing I do want to say about the reading, many people said that at first they could not relate to this portion of the chapter with the jaywalker, just going out over and over again and getting banged up. But now they do. And that's the same way with me. I think it's just one of those stories. But when you get it and when you realize how powerful an illustration that is, it just takes your breath away almost, because that's certainly the road that I was going down. And I want to thank everyone here giving service, and happy October 31st.
And thank you very much, Kim T. And
sure.
Lisa N., before we take you, I just want to remind everybody where we are. We're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, ending with its strong language, but isn't it true? And after Lisa, I will take more shares. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service today. And what great shares, everybody. Good meeting. Well, I am a compulsive overeater recovered from jaywalking with food, I guess you would say. So that's by God's grace and mercy for sure. And I was thinking about something somebody said, and then I had a memory, I'm sure, you know, that was the case that just kind of spurred me on to think of this. When I was expecting my first baby, I was in the mall someplace and I was eating something, and somebody had seen me, didn't say anything to me or didn't come up to me or whatever, but told somebody else they saw me in the mall eating this particular thing. And I found out from this person that they, you know, they passed this on to me, and I was so embarrassed. But no matter how embarrassed I was, because there were a lot of situations where I was terribly embarrassed, men making comments about the size of my body, low self-esteem, feeling like I was always less than other women who were slim, all of these things, the physical pain, doctor's warnings about a fatty liver, none of this seemed to stop me. And it didn't matter how intelligent I was, how many books I read. It just didn't matter. Nothing could stop me from this until I got to the program, which was a miracle in itself. And however, I did it my way for 2 years. And so, you know, it didn't work. And then all of a sudden, I decided to get the sponsor that sounded like tough love. And that's what made the difference. I needed to do what somebody else said. I needed to not think I knew everything. And thank God for getting me to that place of desperation. So thank you so much for that, and I will pass.
Lisa, where are you calling from?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Okay, thank you. So people can find sure. you if they need you. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. And so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And I will now take more names of those who'd like to share.
Robin.
Robin.
Duke and
Robin P. Robin P. I got somebody from Rhode Island.
Duke. In Rhode Island.
Duke.
Christy M. Susan G. Los Angeles.
Okay.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Deborah G.
Susan G.
Deborah G.
Piper M.
Susan G.
Who was that? Was it an M or an N?
M like Mary, Piper M.
Piper.
Yeah.
P-I-P-M. And then... who
Susan
else?
G.
And Ian.
Susan G.
And Diane N.
And Diane N. All right, let's stop there. I hope I can get you all in. Thank you all for jumping in there. All right, we have Robin P., Duke. I didn't get your last initial. Becca R., Deborah G., Piper M., Susan G., Diane N. I don't think I'm going to get you all, but we'll try. Robin P., you're up first. Tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm in Dubrovnik, Croatia. We normally live in Costa Rica, and we're traveling for 3 months through Europe. And I'm very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I so relate to, oh, my gosh, I just kept doing the same thing over and over again, hoping desperately for a different result. And it was definitely insane. The things that I did with food, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic, recovered anorexic, the whole thing, it's all the same to me. And you know, just the literally the insane things in the middle of the night when I would run out of food, or just Russian roulette. You know, today's going to be different, and it wasn't different. And I couldn't figure out why. And turning my will and my life over to the care of God, working the steps, having a God squad, it just makes such a difference. You know, having a sponsor who is just an angel from God. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for these meetings. Can't even tell you, I've been asking for 6 years by God's grace, one day at a time. And it's, you know, a vision for you has just been a just such a blessing for me. And I definitely was that jaywalker. And today I walked safely across the street, and, you know, just I'm so grateful for sanity, and that I know, you know, to turn my will, my life over to the care of God every morning. And every night I do a step 10, 11 and text it to my sponsor, and just, you know, have just so much support and love. And I get to be supportive and loving to other people too. And, you know, welcome to the newcomers, and I'm Robin P., spelled like the bird. I'm in the directory under Costa Rica, and, you know, it's free to call me, free to text me. We have a super-duper plan, and so just I'm available for outreach. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm just so grateful, and I'm so glad that I get to give back and that I get to travel all over Europe for 3 months as a gift of this program, and to do it abstinently. And it feels like the opposite of that Jay Walker story. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much, Moi Pass.
Thank you very much, Robin. Duke, give us your last initial and where you're calling from. You're up next, followed by Becca R.
Hi, I'm Duke. Last initial is R, calling from Rhode Island. Thank you for your service this morning. Grateful to be here. And I really like this chapter. And the chapter I'm more about alcoholism is the second part of step one. When I did the steps out of the big book with my step study sponsor, the first one being the doctor's opinion, and then the second one being the chapter on more about alcoholism. So the first part is that I have an allergy, and this part is about my thinking. And, you know, Halloween through the holidays were always a very difficult time in the past for me before recovery, and it's when I did most of my eating. And I'm grateful to have gone through the steps out of the big book with the big book step study sponsor, identify my allergy foods. And particularly now, this time of year, I get to remind myself that other people's food is not my food. What other people are doing really has no bearing on me. People will offer me cocktails, they'll offer me desserts, food, things. And I recoil as if from a hot flame. I'm in that position of neutrality, safe and protected, not swearing off. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for this program. And constant vigilance is the price that I pay for my sobriety. There are two words that they use in this particular chapter, the illusion and the delusion. The illusion is the thought, and the delusion is the belief. So I think it and then I believe it, where it says suddenly the thought crosses my mind. So I need to stay safe, particularly this time of year. Reach out, have phone numbers, bring my own food, if that's what I need to do. Arrive early, leave early. I can text somebody, remove myself from a situation. And I also don't go to places that are triggering. If it's not healthy for me to be around family this time of year, I don't go. So this is really step one at its basic core. And wishing everybody a very abstinent, healthy holiday season. Thank you.
And thank you, Duke R. from Rhode Island. We have Becca R. Tell us where you're calling from, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And this paragraph really made me think about the strange insanity of the scale for me. Although I totally identify as a compulsive overeater, I've almost always been in a normal body size. And so the average person looking at me wouldn't think, oh, she's got a problem with food. But the thoughts that would go on in my head around weighing myself and seeing that number were strangely insane. The way they could rip any kind of joy that I might be experiencing away in the blink of a number. And it was never the right number. It was always the wrong number. And then I would go back for more. You know, I would go to the bathroom and think, well, maybe it's changed now. Or I would work out for hours, think, wonder what it is now. I'd sit in the sauna, wonder what it is now. And it was never right. And so this morning, I'm just so overwhelmed with gratitude that I can look for that reassurance and that okayness in my higher power. And that's a gift of the program, to not be a slave to the food, but for me not to be a slave to the scale and to, you know, mirrors and plate glass and anything where I could, you know, get a hit of self-loathing. And I don't do that today. And that is such a blessing. I'm so grateful to be here again. Becca R. from Kentucky. Thanks.
And thank you, Becca R. Deborah G., followed by Piper M. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. And, oh, Mo, thank you so much for your service. It's so good to hear your voice on Mondays. And thank you all who've made this meeting possible. I just look forward to it. And thank you all for all your shares and 12-step in me today and keeping me awake and reminded. And because for so long, there was a part of me that wanted to be free of all this, and there's a part of me that didn't, you know, and I went for years and years continually relapsing in that place. And what I realized finally was I wouldn't give up one of my alcoholic foods, and I wasn't taking care of my emotional disturbances. I was going for the ease and comfort with the food to help to ease some of that, to medicate that, to not feel that. And I continued to do it over and over and over. That's that insanity. And it wasn't until I put down that alcoholic food, that last one that I knew, I got awakened and got honest. That, well, I love what was shared about honesty. And I got myself an OA Vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps really quickly so I could get neutrality. Ah, freedom finally from that. And you know, I'm just lost my mom. She just did her crossing over, and I have a little sick kitty right now. And you know, I'm not in the food. That is God's grace. God's grace. And you know, anytime through all this, I have an emotional disturbance. I'm going to a 10-step, and I can feel that emotional disturbance now because I'm not in the food. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my mind. I just, oh, it's just so uncomfortable. And when I do that 10-step with another fellow, well, we come together. I am so blessed for all you guys that do 10-steps with me. What a beautiful treasure gift that I have from this program. And I actually felt a shift inside of me, just like this. It was just like a comfort that I felt. And I didn't want to go to the food. You know, I love these beautiful 12 steps and this beautiful way of living and this beautiful life. And thank you, thank you, thank you for staying connected to that divine, loving presence that wants my highest good and greatest, and loves me, and it's been proven many, many times. And thank you all for your love, and I hope you all have a beautiful, blessed day. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Piper M., tell us where you're calling from, followed by Susan G. Good morning, Piper.
Yes, hi. This is Piper M., compulsive overeater. I was in OA last year, and I lost some significant weight. I'm looking for a sponsor currently. So I was advised to come on this call. But my experience, strength, and hope, I've been working on a lot of step work on my own. That my OA sponsor had given me last year. I'm working on my third week of abstinence. I know it's encouraged to be out of the food, you know, by your third or fourth step. So, and I really believe in this program, and I believe I have a problem. And I want to get in touch with, you know, my power greater than myself, which I truly believe in. So I thank you for all of your shared experiences, which are giving me the courage to move forward with this program. Thank you.
Piper, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah, thank you very much. And stay on at the end. Their sponsors will give their names and phone numbers.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Susan G., tell us where you're calling from, followed by Diane N.
Thank you, Mo. Susan G. calling in from Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time. Good morning, everybody. Recovered today, and for many, many years, page 38 was absurd, and it was a ridiculous illustration to give. I mean, who would be so daft as to walk on the 101 or the 405 freeway and expect to come out alive? Almost as ridiculous as having your jaw wired shut and not losing any weight at 250 pounds for 3 months. Being annoyed when I had to ask for a seatbelt extender, but that wasn't enough. All of those things. And then, oh gosh, why don't I lie when you ask me if I'm pregnant? That's how overweight I was. That's the lack of power that I had in my life, not the lack of desire to get to a normal body weight. And I came in and out of these meetings, in and out of these meetings, thinking I was so intelligent and all of the things that I had and that other people have shared this morning. And I just couldn't stop. And where it says it's strong language, but isn't it true? That large dash there, it's not just a little dash, it's quite large. Same way that there are two parts to step one that I never ever took. I was powerless every single Sunday night, every Sunday night. I had a lot of little plans and designs of what was going to happen on Monday morning. But as we've read in prior pages, my memory failed to keep the horror and remorse of the night before alive the next morning. So for me, that decision and that action, they had to be Siamese twins so that I could stop walking on those busy motorways and thinking I would come out alive. And those motorways inside of my head, they just are in circles and they zoom all around when I'm running the show. And today, luckily, through these 164 pages, it actually isn't luck. It's the point that I've turned for me. The point is that I have turned my will and my life over. I made a decision, funny enough, on a Sunday night and saw how ridiculous this was. And this illustration was very, very true. So again, if you are new, welcome to Overeats Anonymous. Welcome home. Thank you, Mo.
Hey, thank you, Susan G. And next up, we'll have Diane N., and we may have time for one or two more quick shares. Diane N., tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Diane, a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from Georgia, Eastern Time, Metro Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you, guys, for this opportunity to share today. I am so grateful for this reading, because I have always been able to, once they said substitute in this story, substitute eating, I had no problem because I know how out of control I was. It was as if I was caught in the grips. I think the big book uses that word, and that explains exactly where I was. I'm a chronic relapser. For decades, I was in and out of relapsing, unable to get this program, unable to recover until about 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in January. I've been in recovery. And it's such a major difference in the way my life was before, when I was slipping and sliding and before I received this precious gift of desperation. But I kept trying. I stayed in the rooms. And, you know, I'll be, like I said, in and out of relapse. And so today, during this season, this day, Halloween, I'm glad to be on the calls. I remember what my life used to be like. and I know what it's like now. It is quite a miracle. I haven't had to have sugar in over 40 years, but I was, when I say I was a chronic relapser, I was in and out with other things. So, and I remember years ago they used to have something called the, we used to call it the Bermuda Triangle, these three holidays, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. But for me, it went on to New Year's, Valentine's Day, and, you know. But I just need to say today that, and I did it every year. I would promise myself, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I had a little plan, go to meetings, but none of it ever, it never included these steps. Today in recovery, what I want to do, or what I know what I have to do, I have to do it on whatever Halloween, New Year's, whatever the holiday is, to work my steps. I have to stay in steps 10, 11, and 12. My disease is not taking a vacation. My disease is not going to say, okay, girl, you get to eat what you want today. It's your birthday or whatever the holiday. My disease is getting stronger every day. My job today is to focus on my recovery so that my recovery can get progressive. My disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. It tricks me every time. I would fall for the okey-doke every time. But today, I'm grateful to be in recovery. I am so humbled to have received this miracle. And like they say, it's a simple program, but it's not easy because it took me years to get it. But today, I'm grateful for this gift, and I'm grateful for you guys being on the call today. With that, I pass.
And thank you very much. We have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Cheryl S.
Cheryl S. You're on, Cheryl.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S.
S with an S or a C?
S is in Sam. Mm-hmm. Cheryl S.
And your first initial.
S.
I mean, the letter of Cheryl, is it S or C?
It's an S, too. S is in Sam.
Thank you very much.
Yes. This is S squared. Cheryl in Nevada. And I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And what came to my mind about this story that always seemed ridiculous was, you know, what if I was a loved one of this jaywalker? And I can picture myself sitting in the hospital and holding this person's hand and, you know, because I loved them and, you know, crying because of their injuries and angry because they keep doing this to themselves and baffled because I don't understand why do they keep doing this to themselves. And, you know, I would be pleading with them and I would be yelling at them and I would be, I just think of all the things I would try and say, you know, to figure out what's going on and to hope that they'd stop doing it. And then I can flip the coin and I can picture myself in the hospital bed, and I can see my family's faces and them baffled and heartbroken and angry and, you know, hoping against hope that we're not going to do this one more time. And all of a sudden the story does not become so absurd. You know, the jaywalker's in total denial, but his family sees what's going on. I was in total denial about the food, but my family saw what was going on. So can I relate to this story? You better believe I can. Yeah. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody who shared today.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Cheryl. Perfect timing. And I want to thank everybody who shared on this meeting today, last Monday of the month. It was very powerful. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Justin B. to please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And page 164. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. This is Justin B., recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in this fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.